This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to BadlandsRanch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's BadlandsRanch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
Folks, we have a late night edition of Thursday Coast for a Change. It's 10:14 in the East and 7:14 Pacific time where Marcos is. And this will be our first chat after the debacle that occurred Tuesday. Marcos, the founder and publisher of the largest progressive community online, founder of Civics with a Q, civicswithaq.com, the polling firm. Oh boy, how you feeling, man? In these 48 hours, hence.
I'm not sleeping. I don't know if any of us are sleeping. And I at this point, there is kind of a furious resignation where I'm having, you know, thoughts that I don't love. Like I'm feeling vengeful, and I don't like to feel vengeful. So, you know, you got Latinos who are going to be rounded up, and in Michigan they voted for Trump 60%, and so I'm not feeling particularly generous to my own community given how they voted. And it's a really shitty energy. Like, I don't like it. It's not good. Like, but it is frustrating to see how Democrats have really try to make people's lives better. And Donald Trump literally ran on making people's lives worse. And the people that were actually helping voting against us, the immigrant communities, the organized labor, right? $30-some billion to bail out the Teamsters pension fund. And for what? For what? What did Democrats get for doing that? And so you go down the list. There's so many of these communities. Do you know that the bulk of the money in the CHIPS bill, right, that's bringing factories, bulk of those are in red districts. Why are we expending so much effort to make people's lives better when they don't give a damn? And there's so many like these little pieces. You know where Elon Musk began his radicalization? He used to be a Democrat. And he used to be, you know, a darling of the left, right? Green cars and the environment. And early on in the Biden administration, he had a summit of automakers, EV summit, electrical vehicles. And he snubbed Elon Musk because his factories are not unionized. And organized labor demanded Biden disinvite or not invite Elon Musk? Okay. Obviously, that did not work well for us. And he may have done that anyway. Like, he went nuts during COVID, you know, whatever. But big tech is a huge source of money and support to Democrats. And yet the Justice Department is going after Apple for what is essentially a BS case. And can we focus? Can we do what Donald Trump does and take care of his people? We take care of our people. And that doesn't mean that, you know, Donald Trump doesn't want to send, you know, disaster relief to states that did not vote for him. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But why are we expending, as Democrats, so much effort to help people who literally are resentful of Democratic efforts to actually help people? I don't understand. And I'm feeling very burned. And I don't know if I like that energy, Mark.
But did we know that before Tuesday? I mean, I think we know it now.
When I say organized labor, that's actually not quite right, because the teachers' unions, the services, you know, SEIU, AFSCME, the culinary, these are all heavily Democratic and they bust their butts. So it's the trades, right? It's the automakers, it's the Teamsters, it's the building trades, which are more blue collar, white unions than the services or the teachers, which is predominantly women.
And non-college educated.
Yeah. Yeah. Great point. So I don't want to lump them all in. That's right. My bad. But why are we let's help them all for helping the teachers union. Why are we helping the Teamsters when last cycle they were already moving away from us? I mean, it's a good point, but why are we spending money building factories in red districts? We know those people don't want us. Why are we providing farm support for rural areas? Why are we doing rural broadband? Why are we doing rural broadband so they can watch the crap that they're watching, the podcasts that they're listening to, the right-wing stuff, further radicalizes them. Rural broadband that Democrats fought for, not Republicans.
So that goes to the other question. All of these people were saying, and obviously I'm about to answer my own question, it's just a cover. Things are worse now. We don't have anything. We're broke. Well, no, you can't be broke if Democrats are helping to put factories in, these other resources. You can't be doing worse. Did you have broadband before Joe Biden or didn't you? You know what I'm saying? And in terms of the economy, the economy is far better than it was in 2020. So it's just dishonest. Why are people saying that they're worse off? Where did that? I guess it's, again, they hear it on the podcast and they repeat it.
Mm-hmm. And Trump promised that he's going to bring the prices down. I just saw a story, the Iranian, young Iranian, who was talking to, he was driving a Uber. And he talked to his, he was talking to this guy saying, yeah, how his mom was stuck in an airport for 5 days during the Muslim ban. But he still hoped that Trump would win because prices are too high. And so Trump is promising he's going to drop prices. Now, Trump, what happens to Trump, and what do people think about Trump when the prices don't drop? Because they're not going to drop, right? I mean, that's not how the world works. Prices are baked in. And I'm not even talking about his tariffs, which are going to increase prices. What happens if saner heads prevail in his administration and he backs off on tariffs? What then? Prices don't come down. Are they going to blame him? No, because he's going to say, I dropped prices, and he's going to take credit for something that didn't happen. And people are going to believe it, because by then they will be used to the prices right now. $12 burger, it's going to be normal. It's not going to be a big deal at that point or whatever, you know. So this is what's frustrating. And one of the things that Trump is really, really good at, better than anybody else, is he's good at taking credit for stuff. And he was taking credit for, you know, he knew that the insulin thing was popular, so he took credit for it. obviously, he didn't pass it. Every Republican voted against it. But no, he took credit for it. So, but where it actually makes sense is when he sent those stimulus checks during the pandemic, he had those checks signed by him. When Joe Biden took over and he sent out another round of stimulus checks, he did not follow suit. He had this Treasury Secretary sign the checks. Why, Mark? Why are Democrats afraid of taking credit for stuff? Just take credit for it.
No, that's the real issue. And also a historical characteristic inability to explain their accomplishments.
Yeah.
But let's go back to the first thing you led with, Latinos. Young lady, I think I said it to you, young lady posted on TikTok, one of her brothers was deported, his children mourned and were traumatized, and then they went to vote for Trump. What is that about? That's something, there's some cultural thing going on there. What is it? Can you explain that?
So there's a couple of things. One is that the percentage of Latinos went up, but a lot of it isn't that more of them are voting. It's not like a wholesale shift. It just means that less Democratic Latinos turned out to vote. So in the Bronx, 23%, that 23 points of the difference was just basically 23% of Latinos that voted in 2020 did not vote this time. So that's going to, you know, if all the Trump vote Latinos turn out, before they were maybe 20%, now they're 40%, right? So that's part of it. And I'm not quite sure how much of the numbers are drop-off and how much of it is flip support. So I haven't dug into that data yet, and I don't even know if that data is available yet. So okay. Just, I want to caution.
That's an important distinction then.
Right.
Because right now the perception is they just all flipped.
Yeah. So, and I think young Latinos, I think a bunch flipped. I mean, I actually think there's smoke there. And again, maybe there wasn't fire, but you know, if there's smoke, there's fire. But I don't think it's we don't know to what degree. Now, I will say, and this is, so I'm just going to tell a story, if you'll indulge me, about my home country, El Salvador. So I'm Salvadoran. El Salvador right now has a authoritarian dictator in training president named Bukele. And what Bukele did is he took, essentially, this was a country that was wracked by violence, that gang violence, drug-fueled gang violence, one of the highest murder rates in the entire world of a peacetime country. People were living in absolute terror. And so what he did when he came in is he literally threw every single young male in prison. Just about. Anybody that was in a gang, absolutely. Anybody that was suspected to be in a gang, okay. Anybody accused by their neighbors, like in those old Soviet states, right, where they would say, oh, this guy's a counter-revolutionary, right, and they'd get carted off to the gulag. They do that. So there's no judicial review. He built this massive prison that fits 50,000 people, and he just threw all the young people. And the country now is one of the safest countries in the world. I was there last year. I was able to travel to parts of the country that I had never been to because it'd been too dangerous. And I would talk to people, and they would tell me everybody had a son, a cousin, a friend, somebody that they knew that they said was unjustly incarcerated. And they all still supported the president because they felt safe. Now, you look at the Republican platform or the Trump, what he's really good at, right? Everything is based on safety. There's physical safety. And so he rails against immigrants that want to murder you and that the crime rate is at the all-time high. Lies, but he's appealing to physical safety. There's economic safety, inflation. And there's cultural safety because, trans people and the woke stuff. The safety message is incredibly powerful. I think feeling safe is akin to food, shelter, and food, shelter, and whatever the other one is. And so he convinced people and he's very good at this by demagoguing, that they were in danger. And people are willing to open the door to authoritarians to feel safe. So it could simply be, I don't want tax dollars to go to trans people because that's like weird and scary to me and trans women in sports. And Trump promised safety from change. And there are lessons there on all three of those, on economic, physical, and cultural safety, that Democrats may want to pay heed because it's a powerful message. And like I said, you talk about people who, you know, support somebody against their interests. They know family members and friends that are in prison and they support it because now they're not being murdered. Now they're safe. Now in El Salvador, it's extreme, right? Because they were literally being murdered.
Right.
The gangs were, it's just horrifying. We don't have that here, but Trump created that narrative that was happening here. And so Bukele in El Salvador has a 90% approval rating. He literally ignored the Constitution. The Constitution forbade consecutive presidential terms. He just ignored it. And when the Supreme Court tried to do something about it, he basically said, you and whose army? And then he fired them. And then they marched in his own people. And yeah. Obviously, Trump is not at 90% because the situation here isn't what it was in El Salvador. But what it does speak to is people's fear. And Republicans, just in general, they're always afraid. You see this, right? They're afraid of everything. I'm afraid of their own shadows. So it's easier to feed that. And so Latinos are culturally conservative, religious, and they... That's what they may have been speaking to. Now, what I don't understand, Mark, and I'm not going to, I know there are people doing research and doing digging into this, is what's really motivating those young men. But I think part of it is that cultural safety, right? They've been sort of told that they are no longer the masters of the universe. Women are asserting themselves and they don't like it. It's ahistorical for the Latino community, for women to basically say, no, you can't tell me what to do. And that could be a part of it. So
I don't know,
but there's a subset of people that are feeling alienated and Trump speaks to that. And then there are people who just didn't turn out to vote for whatever reason that I couldn't even begin to speculate at this point.
Wow.
And you know what's interesting? The two demographics that really turned out for Harris and didn't erode were Black people and Jewish people. And right. I think they're the two communities that have most suffered historically and understand the dangers of a racist demagogue like Trump. And the Latinos, they don't have that deep-seated trauma, that cultural trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying all communities have trauma. I don't want to minimize it, right? And I'm Latino, so I'm not talking shit about somebody. But obviously with the Black community, what American Blacks have dealt with and what Jewish people dealt with during World War II and just historically, that's just... been systematically been genocided.
And as relative, let me throw this out there as a theory. If you're Latino and you come from a country where there's been some level even of political persecution, you think this place is great. Mm-hmm. You don't have the context that Blacks and Jews have in this place.
Yes, it's an upgrade.
Right. Especially if you just got here.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are coming in with the belief that, oh, this is great, better than where I came from, which is also interesting. Things are not better. Didn't have no job there. Weren't making any money. Come here. You do well. And it's interesting, those who do experience racism when they get here, they either change their way of thinking or there's some level of denial about it. And there are some issues of racism and misogyny when it comes to Latin America.
Oh, so it's worse than here. It's worse than here. I mean,
really?
I'm sure you know about the concept of improving the race, where you have to marry whiter than you, so it could be lighter.
Yeah.
No, it's nasty. And I've talked about this before, but another factor is that a lot of them that coming from political persecution, they survive by keeping their head down. And so there's a sense here that if they don't make noise and they don't, they don't engage politically, and if they're just good neighbors, to maybe they'll be left alone. There's this hope that that's going to happen, and they won't.
So with all that being said, back to your earlier point, there is some reason to believe that it wasn't necessarily a major shift, but more show of a lack of turnout on the part of Latinos, you know, go Democratic. We saw what Latinas were with her.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this then about, is there a possibility the same analysis can be applied to white women? I'm just asking. White women and with Trump, do we know yet whether that's real in total, or was that also folks staying home?
They're still counting. We don't know how many, it's going to be weeks before we have, there's still millions of ballots that are going to come in from Washington, California, Oregon, Arizona. But we do know that, it's about 10 million fewer votes. Harris got about 10 million fewer votes than Joe Biden did.
Yeah.
So Trump is around the same level. He might be a little bit more, but he didn't appreciably grow his support, at least not yet. We'll see what another, but again, this is all very tentative. I don't want to make any declarative statements, but he doesn't look to have really grown, and we've always said if we vote, we win, and we didn't turn out and win. So yeah, of course, that a big chunk of those people who didn't turn out to win to vote were white women. I think that that's just as damning as voting for Trump, to be honest, because this is they've just literally voted for medical insecurity. And I just can't fathom why that would happen. And even not participating. And Mark, so there's this whole genre after Brexit, when the United Kingdom left the European Union, where all these people who supported Brexit were like, jobs went away, they couldn't travel to Europe anymore. They were getting subsidies from the EU that stopped. And they're all like, we didn't know this. And so it's kind of leopard's eight face of, person of the leopard. But there's this notion that you play with a leopard and it eats your face. Like, don't be surprised, right? And Donald Trump is a leopard. Brexit was a leopard. And these people dancing, they're going to get their face eaten and they're going to be crying. Like, there's going to be women are going to die. And we're going to see the stories about how they supported Trump and they didn't know that this is what that meant. We've already seen stories of, there's a story today of some guy complaining that his workplace is not going to do any bonuses this year because the company is buying raw materials ahead of any Trump tariffs. And they had to spend all their money. And the guy did not understand why tariffs had anything to do with his Christmas bonus, right? If the tariffs happen, Trump lies, maybe they don't happen. But if they happen, prices are going to go up. I mean, just it's a tax. So prices are going to go up. And people are going to complain about it. And they're going to, we didn't know. He told us that it was going to lower prices. He told us that China was going to pay it. And we're going to sit there, Mark, you and me and all these people that voted for Harris. We're going to be like, you dumb mothers. Like, we told you. And it's going to be frustrating and maybe a little cathartic. Like, okay, now this is what you voted for. Learn. Maybe next time, don't be this naive. But you're going to see this, I think, with women and abortion in places like Florida, where they thought they could vote for Rick Scott and Donald Trump. And then they had the ballot initiative, but it had a 60% threshold and it only got 57%. So it failed. Texas obviously retains one of its most restrictive abortion restriction laws. So this is, they voted for this. And whether they voted actively for it or they just stayed home. And Mark, I don't think it was a failure of us to communicate what was at stake.
No, absolutely not.
We told them.
Yeah.
Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Holiday magic is in the air at iFly Indoor Skydiving. Imagine unwrapping the experience of flight. iFly is the perfect unique gift for anyone who wants to turn their dream of flying into a joyful reality. It's unforgettable fun for all ages. Save over 35% with iFly's limited-time holiday gift voucher flight packages. Turn dreams into unforgettable moments with the gift of flight. Go to iFlyWorld.com to purchase your holiday gift vouchers. That's iFlyWorld.com.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
So I'm going to put this up because this viewer, listener, has been reading my mind. They had to top Nikki posted on YouTube watching us live right now. I know there hasn't been any proof, but something doesn't add up. Now, I have been having this conversation over the past 24 hours with a number of credible people who just cannot make sense out of any of this. Now, of course, we're all frustrated, we're anxious, we can't believe it. But there's just some questions. Now, some people say, well, Mark's about to sound conspiratorial, but it's not conspiratorial if I'm asking a question. So I just want to throw a few questions out there. One of which was even raised today by a former elected official who called me. So here are the questions, and what some of us just can't quite reconcile. The enthusiasm, the massive rallies, $1 billion raised, and that does not translate into a single battleground state.
I have an answer for that, Mark. And it's not a conspiracy. We talked quite a bit, actually, about the importance of a ground game and how Kamala Harris had a ground game, Donald Trump did not.
Right.
And I always said a good ground game is worth 1 to 3 points. That was a conventional wisdom. 1 to 3 points is what a ground game can actually get you. 1 to 3 points in Utah is not going to win you the ball game, right? Like, there's a limit. So they were able to build the best ground game in history. And we have this incredible, rare opportunity. Because, you know, this has been the conventional wisdom, 1 to 3 points. I've looked for studies, for any evidence of this, and I've never been able to find it. It's just campaigns to say it. Ground game is worth 1 to 3 points. Never been able to actually quantify that, right? Suddenly have an election where the entire sum of money is being spent in 7 states, and you have a uniform shift in the rest of the country. Usually elections, you know, California may be activated, you know, different parts of the country turn out more. This one, there was a pretty universal shift of about 6 points towards Trump. And I think a lot of that is just, it's not Trump winning support, it's Democrats not turning out, right? So there's a 6-point shift, uniform across the country. In the battleground states, about 2 points. Trump gained about 2 points. So the ground game was probably worth 3 to 4 points in the battleground states. So there was enthusiasm. All those rallies were in the battleground states. They weren't happening in Southern California. This is one of the problems with the Electoral College, right? Everything was focused. And I do wonder how much of that drop off in the rest of the country was just like realizing their vote didn't freaking matter because they're not a battleground state. I mean, there's a form of disenfranchisement. And yeah, there's races down ballot, but you know, people are people, right? And we're talking 6 points. That's 6%, you know, it's not a massive number of people, but it's enough that it makes sense that maybe some people just tuned out. And again, we don't know why, but we did not see that drop off in the battleground states, but we did see that broader shift. So all the enthusiasm, all that energy, all that money, all that organization, all that field, it actually made a difference. It's just the headwinds, the broader headwinds were just too much to overcome. Does that make sense?
It doesn't. Well, it makes sense, but again, let's explore this a little further. Where did $1 billion come from? Well, from small dollar donations.
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet you the majority of the small dollar donations came from women and from white women. I'm willing to bet money. We know it didn't come from white men. I'm willing to bet money on that. We can look that up. And then I think we need to look at, if we can, what states those small dollar donations came from that ended up totaling to that billion. Mm-hmm. Again, it's hard to reconcile if, in fact, white women contributed to $1 billion, and yet they still could not win one battleground state. Now, we've looked at white women overall. We've got to, when we can, it's, guess it's too early. We need to look at white women in all the states.
Yeah, I just looked it up. In September, she had 1.5 million donors. You know, she's sitting at 60-some million votes right now. I mean, the number of donors is nowhere near the number of voters. So the fact that more Democrats stepped up to donate to Harris and stepped up to donate for Trump is really not numerically significant. It also shows how money isn't the be-all end-all. So people complain about money in politics. Hillary outspent Trump 2-1. Harris just outspent them 3-1. People aren't buying it.
She had 1.8 million donors in September. That's the month of September. Or that's total. That's
at that
that's
point, cumulative. Yeah, she was at 1.5 million. Yeah. So let's say she got to 2 million by the end of the cycle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a tiny percentage of voters. It's a sign of energy amongst, you know, of our base. But we didn't lose because of our base. We lost because more, you know, harder to turn out people didn't turn out to vote. Our people turned out to vote. Your listeners turned out to vote. My readers turned out to vote. We weren't a problem.
All right. Last thing is, in the battlegrounds, in just about each, all of them, except Nevada and Wisconsin, what are the odds that she would be trailing in each battleground by approximately the same margin? About 100,000 votes.
Well, pretty good, considering that they were pretty tight 4 years ago. I mean, she won them by 10,000 votes in Arizona and 14,000 votes in Georgia. And so you're talking about...
Right, this 10,000 or 14,000. What I'm saying is, this is not 10,000 or 14,000. This is 100,000, 100,000, 100,000.
Yeah, 100,000. It's just that shift. And it's going to be, Arizona and Nevada are going to look different when it's all... Actually, Nevada's not, we're not losing by 100. But once all the votes are coming in Arizona, it might be different. That's not particularly... They were tight races. I mean, those were battleground states, and the whole country shifted, and the ground game kept it close.
I'm not talking about the closeness, Marcos. I'm talking about the commonality in the margin.
I mean,
it's not like one is 25, one is 14, one is 30. 100, 100, 100, 100, pretty much. They're all in that range. Michigan, approximately.
Pennsylvania's 140,000 in Pennsylvania. It's only 80,000 in Michigan. It's 30,000 in Wisconsin. It's not that particularly close.
No, I say Nevada and Wisconsin are closer, but the rest of them.
And Georgia is 120.
Yeah, it's everything's in the 100,000 range.
Arizona's 150. Yeah, I mean, Nevada's 50. Not really, Mark. It's not like their exact numbers. They're all in between 50 and 180. I mean, it's enough of a disparity.
All but two.
So, you know, it would have been interesting. You know what would have been the best case scenario? Best case scenario, had we not had a 6-point shift nationally, had it been a 4-point shift nationally, she would have won all those battleground states. Literally, she would have won all of them. And Trump would have won the popular vote. Maybe then Republicans would have been like, yeah, we need to get rid of this Electoral College bullshit.
Right.
We were that close. And again, it wasn't a landslide victory. It wasn't the wave. He barely eked the shit out.
Now, we explain that, because people won't understand that. He barely eked it out.
He won all those states by 100,000 votes, by 1 point, 1 point, 1 point. You shift the national vote over 1.5 points, I mean, roughly, and Harris wins all those battleground states. And she wins them by 50,000 votes, all of them. And then Republicans are saying, there's something hinky here. And literally, it's what they did last time, is how could she have won by 10,000 in Georgia and 10,000 in Arizona? Like, we can't go down that path. There's zero evidence of irregularities. We just have to accept that this is not the country we thought it was. And Mark, we talked about this on election night. It's one thing in 2016 when you figure people got bamboozled. They didn't know who Donald Trump was. They knew who Donald Trump was now, and either they voted for him or people did not turn out to vote because they didn't care. They didn't care if he won.
Yeah.
And I don't know why our people didn't turn out. And they didn't turn out, so they're not in the data. They're not in the exit polls. We do not know why these people didn't turn out. And we're in this kind of, it's early in the process. So people are, you know, they throw in their priors, right? Oh, they didn't talk about, you know, Bernie Sanders, they didn't talk about working people's issue. Of course they did. They talked about it a lot. Let's not go there. And then there are people who, oh, it was because of Gaza. Oh, no, it was because Democrats did nothing but the campus protests. Like, everybody's throwing in their, like, pet issue, their pet cause, and that's the reason. And it's lazy. She didn't move left enough. She was too liberal. Like, that's lazy. Like, we don't know why people did not turn out. We literally have, we don't know. But it's not because of anything. Like, Mark, it didn't turn out. The only explanation that would work is, okay, we did cheat 4 years ago. And yeah, we had illegal immigrants vote, but we knew they would catch us this time. So they didn't turn out and vote. No, of course that's silly. Our people did not turn out to vote. You don't throw away 10 million votes and hide them. Like, there's no hinkiness. He got the same number of votes as last time. This is not particularly noteworthy. He got his people to turn out. We did not. And I don't know why.
Some of these tricks to me. That after everything is counted, her numbers will be close to Biden's in 2020. Who is Tom Bonilla?
He's target smart. He's.
Yeah. So he's saying that by the time everything is counted, she will come very close to what we may not be looking at a turnout situation.
We may not. And again, like I said, everything's early and people are making all sorts of proclamations and we don't know. But I will say that I haven't seen what he said, and I don't know if he's basing that on the outstanding California vote, but Trump actually did, as a percentage, did shockingly well in California. He got 40% of Alameda County. Alameda County is Oakland and Berkeley and a few suburbs, and it's usually an 80-20 county, and somehow Trump got 40%.
So, you know, I guess we can't discount the reality of misogyny either.
No.
Country may just not want a woman.
I don't want to accept that.
But listen, we talked about this. We weren't happy with Biden in the Obama White House of running. Who's a better candidate? I mean, just in terms of their overall presentation, she was.
Oh, I'm not. Biden, there's
so I mean, but he wins because he's a white dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why back in 2020, Mark, we talked about it. And I was an Elizabeth Warren fan. And I realized after Biden won so narrowly, I was like, Biden is the only one of those people that was going to win this race. Warren would have lost. Bernie would have lost. The only one that could have won that was Joe Biden. And the voters, the Black Democratic primary electorate of South Carolina, they knew that. They knew what country they were dealing with. A lot of white men have lost presidential races. So I don't want to get, until we see more evidence, I don't want to get in a place where now we're afraid to nominate a woman because of a small sample size. We have great women on our bench.
Well, that's not discounting them. The issue is whether or not.
Oh, I know what you're saying. And there's going to be an irrational fear. And I suspect that in 4 years, we're going to nominate a white guy like Gavin Newsom because everybody's going to be too afraid.
And he's not going to win.
Oh, he could. I don't know. Like,
because the other thing they do is, and they deal with her, if they can fear-monger everybody about being a liberal, a dude from California.
Yeah.
First of all, he's going to run against Trump again.
No, Trump can't run again. Constitutionally.
He's going to run against Trump again. He's going to change that, Marcos.
That's a Constitution thing. You can't change the Constitution.
They'll figure out a way to do it.
No.
Trust.
I mean,
they're going to try, Marcos.
Do we really think he's going to last 4 years? He's not looking too good. He ain't lasting 4 years. We're going to have President Vance.
Well, if you and I eat McDonald's every day for a year, we already be gone. I don't know how he does it. You know, this is sad. Everybody that's under the sign of God, just cut off all your other food and eat nothing but Big Macs for the rest of the year.
Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details.
Save big money at Menards.
So so it's been 1865, I think, 1865, 1866 was the last time that a Democrat succeeded a Democrat. Like, it doesn't happen. For the Republicans, it's only happened George Bush succeeded Reagan and then he lost. It's been 160, 180 years. I'm like, I don't know, I can't do math right now. 120 years. No, 1860, 1960. So like 160 years since a Democrat has succeeded a Democrat electorally. The real thing. People generally don't elect people of the same party back to back. It's incredibly rare.
That's not true. Kennedy and LBJ.
Not elected. Kennedy was assassinated. And LBJ did not run for re-election because he knew he was going to lose.
No, Marcos. Kennedy was assassinated. LBJ served a year and then ran for re-election in 64. He served 1 year and then he ran in 64 and won. He did not run in 68.
Okay.
He served 5 years. He served 1 year, the last year of Kennedy's term. Then he ran in 64. He ran 1 year after he was assassinated and was elected.
All right, I'll have to look at the formulation, because you're right. It's still very, very rare. And it might be 8 years. It might be an 8 year thing. Because that was not 8 years. Combined, it would have been 8 years, and then he didn't run.
And then what about Roosevelt and Truman?
Truman didn't run. He never won an election.
No, yes, he did. Remember, Dewey defeats Truman. The same thing. Roosevelt dies in office. Then he runs outright on his own.
All right, and I got to look it up because the formulation point is.
I see your point. I mean, I wish I could agree with it for the point of making me feel better.
Yeah.
That's it. Wait a minute, let me, 1948. Let me get this straight. Harry Truman was elected, hold on. Yeah, he, I think he ran in 48.
No, you're right. I totally screwed up that. I totally screwed that up.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think in both those cases.
This is by way of history.
There was a death.
He served for a minute, because you think about it. Roosevelt was elected
right.
44.
The difference in both those situations is that they took office. They were the incumbent because of a death.
Because of death.
Of the president. So that creates a historical situation that sort of changes it. But without a death, like somebody serving a 4 year term and then being succeeded by another Democrat, that hasn't happened since 1860 something, 1856 or something like that.
Well, look, this is kind of interesting. Harry Truman served a full 3 years. In the first year of Roosevelt's fourth term, he dies. Mm-hmm. So Harry Truman literally served almost a full term.
Yeah.
That's a long time to be a vice president. You just, you know, you get that job and you in there for 3 years until you run on your own. Yeah. I didn't realize, I don't know if anybody else served that long. But that's what we're getting off.
Yeah, so. I know. Anyway, the point is, Trump has made a lot of promises. You know, I know, everybody knows that he's a shit show. His people are already fighting. Corey Lewandowski is fighting with Chris LaCivita. They're out going at each other's throats. They're, about you what? Know. Oh, because they hated each other during the campaign. And Lewandowski tried to get Civita and Susan Wiles fired. And it was a whole thing. And so they hate each other. And somebody, one of Steve Bannon does not speak for the president. And like, they're all already sort of being who they are, right? Which are just horrible people who hate each other. You have all the promises about lowering prices. Prices are not going to lower. We know that. There's a promise that he's not going to get us into wars. Maybe he pulls that off. But there's a lot of bloodlust on the Middle East and Iran and Gaza. And who knows what Trump may do. There is the odds that he, because there's going to be some kind of, you know, crisis. He's going to blow it. He absolutely will blow it. And Trump is unique as a political figure. I don't know what he's got. But note that Trump won all those battleground states. And in Georgia did not have anything at down ballot. All the other ones, Democrats won the next race on the ballot. They won the governor's race in North Carolina. They lost in Pennsylvania, but they won the Senate races in Michigan, Wisconsin, Arizona, and Nevada. Trump outperformed the bottom. MAGA likes Trump more than anybody else, will vote for him more than anybody else. Because if he had to pull on a Republican Party, he would have dragged all those, he would have ousted all those Democrats. We would have lost all those Senate races. Somehow we survived them. And even in places like Ohio and Montana and Pennsylvania, where the Democrats came up short, they still overperformed the top of the ticket. They did better than Kamala Harris did. Trump is a unique figure that makes no freaking sense. You take all those races and you take Trump off, and you know if it was the top vote getter is the Democrats, Harris wins. Like, Trump got more vote than the bottom of the ballot in all those states. So I actually think it's going to be very, very tough. What, J.D. Vance. And yeah, we've learned not to underestimate. But J.D. Vance almost lost Ohio, which he's not a particularly gifted politician. Mm-hmm. And I got to say, Vance is a project of Elon Musk and Peter Thiel. And I wonder, like, if I'm Donald Trump, I'm not standing at the top of any staircases with J.D. Vance around. Because I don't think they had... Trump is not part of their plan.
Really? You think so?
Oh, they don't. That's interesting. Trump does his own thing. You know, the only reason, I mean, I don't think he's going to actually do Project 2025. I think he'll do his own thing, which is probably worse than Project 2025. But nobody tells him what to do. His own campaign couldn't tell him what to do. I mean, he ran a disastrous campaign. Didn't matter. But he ran a disastrous campaign. And so Peter Thiel, they want somebody they can control. J.D. Vance, they can control. He's a puppet. Or a true believer, and they have a mind meld, but he's on board.
It just also seems bizarre to me. So obviously what you're saying, in the case of Gallego and some of these other Democrats who won the Senate, you're saying, Did some of MAGA, what did they vote for them, or they just didn't vote at all?
There's only a drop off at the top of the ticket. They just didn't vote. And there's some split votes, but a lot of those weren't MAGA, right? I mean,
yeah. Vote for Gallego and not vote for Kamala Harris?
Yeah. And the same thing in Wisconsin with Tammy Baldwin, and
that makes sense. Marker
Michigan with Slotkin. It absolutely makes sense.
For Democrats to do that?
Oh, no, I mean Republicans. Republicans. I don't think Democrats did that. I think Republicans did that. I think there's crossover Trump, Democratic Senate candidate voters. Or in North Carolina, Trump and Josh Shapiro. No, not Shapiro, Stein. Trump gets people out in a way that nobody else does.
Let's look at them real quick. Just bear with me for a minute. I want to see something for a minute. How many? Well, that won't answer my question. We need to see how many Democrats voted for Tammy and Rubin versus how many Democrats voted for Kamala Harris. We need to look at that when we can. Whenever those numbers come out.
We cannot know that. Actually, in the exit polls, we may get some. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's see. Senate exit polls. President. Let's look at Wisconsin's. Wisconsin. U.S. Senate. So, So in Wisconsin, 97% of Democrats voted for Tammy Baldwin. 2% of Republicans voted. 2% of Democrats voted for Hobday, however you say his name. Amongst Republicans, 7% voted for Baldwin. So there you have it. In a race that tight, that was the margin, and she also won independent. Which tie Trump? Ooh, actually, I bet you Trump won independence. So independence went 52-46 for Tammy Baldwin. 52-46 for Tammy Baldwin. And exactly the same for Harris. The difference is that 3% of Democrats voted for Trump instead of 2, and only 5% of Republicans voted for Harris instead of, what was it before? 7?
Whoa, repeat that. What percentage of Democrats voted for Trump?
3. And 5% of Republicans voted for Harris. So that was
the big thing. Why would 3% of Democrats vote for Trump?
I mean, people are not as sophisticated as we think they are sometimes. These are normies. They may like Harris, and I mean, they may like Baldwin because they've seen her around and they shook her hand and she delivered something for them. And Trump appeals to their bigotry. I don't know. I mean, there's people who think that Trump's a successful businessman and therefore he's going to bring jobs. Like, there are people who still say that now, after how many years of talking about all his bankruptcies. So, people are unplugged in, Mark.
Now, he can't pardon himself in New York or Georgia, right?
No.
It's going to be wild. Jack Smith is shutting down.
He has no choice.
The folks, the rule is he can't prosecute a sitting president.
And I think he'll be on the other end of the statute of limitations, right?
I don't know.
Think he might be on the other end of the statute of limitations after 4 years. But and what happens if, I mean, Texas, New York is a civil case, right? So that's, but yeah, what happens in Georgia? It's gonna be wild, Mark. But I will say this, because it happens all the freaking time, is that in 4 years, people are gonna wanna change and the Democrats are gonna be ready for that. And the Senate map, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's a Democrat we could have ran. There's no candidate. I mean, maybe Michelle Obama. Maybe Michelle Obama. But probably not.
Really, what's the difference?
Yeah, what is
the two accomplished black women attorneys? Does Kamala Harris run again?
I mean, I kind of hope so. You know, Democrats are not kind to our losers the way Republicans are. Republicans run them over and over again.
Over and over. And Ronald Reagan.
And it wins. They win.
Donald Trump.
George Bush. The first one, Elder.
That's right. We the Democrats, you just get turned out. You just, you know, go to the ash heap of history.
Yeah, no, go to Siberia.
I ran into Michael Dukakis walking out of Union Station with me cashing a taxi, just a regular dude. Look how, and it's sad because when you see people like that, they're just glad you recognize them. Mm-hmm. You know, he stopped. Oh, yeah, man. You know, like, nobody else knew, not a soul in Union Station knew, recognized Michael Dukakis but me. No one knew who that man was. I'm from Nashville. Mm-hmm. I think somebody else said it happened to a Republican. What's my man's? Frist. Remember Senator Frist? Remember him? He was majority leader. And I think he fell out with Trump and got to run out of town. Ran into him in Nashville in the airport. Oh, it's so good to see you. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm the only person who recognizes you in the airport. I'm like, you ever see me?
Bob
Frist.
But you're happy to see me? In a sane world, I don't see why Kamala couldn't run again and couldn't make a go of it. And she almost beat Trump.
And nobody's raised $1 billion.
In a bad environment, Biden wasn't going to win.
But see, here's the other thing. I mean, you got to think about the excitement. There's never been that much excitement. Who else can even generate that kind of excitement? Josh Shapiro?
You know. Jesus Christ.
And I'll be honest with y'all, we live in a racist country. I don't really, look, we got a problem with getting a woman elected. I'm not convinced. I'm not saying this to be mean. I'm not convinced that these folks out here already elected you either.
Yeah.
Now, they may not be as vocal about it. They just won't do it.
Uh-huh.
That's when we bring the Bradley effect back. Uh-huh. Y'all remember what the Bradley effect is? Oh, yeah. We like Josh. And then.
Yeah. But, yeah, Meg Whitman. You got the woman's situation. Again, I don't think that should be a reason for us to shy away from nominating them, but
Gretchen,
I think
Gretchen Whitmer. You said Meg Whitmer.
Sorry. Meg Whitman. No, we don't want Meg Whitman.
She's with us now.
Weirdly, yes.
How much do you think it hurt Kamala?
What are the white guys? What, Pete Buttigieg? Are we going to elect a gay man?
Husband? Well... I mean, and don't get me wrong, Pete's cool. I like Pete.
I love Pete. I wasn't a Pete person when he ran because I thought, don't go from small town mayor. He's paid his dues, though. I mean, he has, and he's been, he knows how to make an argument.
But I don't think Pete, the issue with Pete is his sexual orientation. There's just, you don't really go from transportation, mayor to transportation. Now, well, let me stop, because if I say something, then I know too much and people know where I heard it. But let me just stop. But anyway,
all right.
Pete does want to run. We know this.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know what we're going to do.
So if we're going to talk about white men, we're really down to Gavin Newsom. I mean, I'm not sure who else.
And Trump's gonna doesn't end with that. He's gonna count chocolate.
I mean, Trump's not gonna be running for president then. But
yes, he did. First of all, there's not gonna be an election. It's gonna be a Putin situation. He's just gonna stay.
Well, if that happens, and it's nothing, then it don't matter who runs on the Democratic side, right? It's not even relevant. That's a whole different problem we would have to deal with. But constitutionally, two terms is about as clear as you get. There's no way even the Supreme Court can work around that. So absent an outright coup, he's not going to be there. He's not going to be alive in 4 years.
He's going to pardon all the January 6th people.
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Okay, folks. Late night coasts.
Just turned into a... We were just talking. What, we were on the air?
What
we just having a conversation.
This, and I'm looking at the comments on YouTube, because that's what's coming up in the feed, more on YouTube, mostly YouTube comments. People saying we're crybabies. We need to get over it. We're trying to cope. We're sore losers. Several people have said you're gay. I don't know why they feel that way.
I don't know. I'll take that as a compliment, though, because that looks has great lighting. Look at this. Look, that's my living room at night. Like, come on. Although, I got my two kids here.
Right.
So, I'll take that as a compliment. I'm not dressed as nice. I just have a t-shirt on. I'd be dressed better if I was gay.
Oh, boy. So Netanyahu's saying he's ready to wind the war down now.
Oh, great.
So Trump can have a clean slate. No kidding. You know, no kidding. We know why you kept it going.
Yeah.
Somebody said, since you brought it up, look what someone said.
I do love my house, and this is literally my lighting at night. Like it winds.
Yeah, man, you haven't seen the nighttime lighting because we normally in the daytime. I see you. Yeah, all right.
Yeah, no, I chill. I actually have some overhead lights on right now, otherwise it would be too dark. But I really bring down my energy just to really chill light, and it helps soothe me before I go to bed. Well, lighting is very important for me.
You playing piano? You can play the piano much? I guess we should do more. We should decompress.
Yeah,
no, you should play the piano and I should sing.
My guitars as well. So
maybe you should do something and I'll come to you vocally and then we just. I know I can do a couple of things.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't think we're coping. I don't think we're sore losers. I mean, we're not. Mark, are you rioting on the Capitol demanding that Kamala Harris declare herself president just because? And do we have Trump, Biden? Because Biden, the Supreme Court said Biden can do whatever he wants. Is he murdering? Is he ordering the assassination of Donald Trump?
So someone today texted, but Biden.
Ridiculous. We're fine.
Someone texted today that Sotomayor, because of her health, should step down, and Biden, before he leaves, should appoint Kamala to the Supreme Court.
I mean, we'd have to get through the Senate and we only have a vote, and then you'd have to get Manchin and Sinema to go along with it. So, no, I don't think that's a starter. It'd be great. Yeah. I don't think
this is her personality either.
No. Because
she was out here. She's out here in the world. You know, when you're on the Supreme Court, you ain't really be not supposed to be good. Unless you get Clarence Thomas and you're taking trips.
I would love for her to. But you know what? Right now, Supreme Court at this point, anyway, we're kind of effed because, you know, he's going to get to a point to replace two of those conservative older ones with 40-year-olds. So, but here's the thing.
No, 20-year-olds.
Here's the thing, Mark. In 4 years, people are going to be sick of Republicans. They're going to be sick of Trumpism. Democrats can win. The map looks good. The Senate map is killer for us in 2026.
It does.
Yeah, in 2028, in 4 years.
Right.
26, we might be able to claw back like two seats. There's not a lot of opportunities. But in 4 years, it's a killer map for us. We get the majority, we get the trifecta, then we just expand the fucking Supreme Court. That's the plan. We're not gonna deal with this 7-2 court for the rest of our lives.
By the way, so is the House been resolved? Because I just saw Swalwell on TV saying it's not. So, I mean, we still have a shot?
We still have a shot, yeah. Because, again, Democrats did better down ballot. They overperformed Harris. And that's why the House is actually in play, weirdly in play. I mean, the ugly asshole in me right now kind of is rooting for Republicans to have the trifecta so that we'll be like, this is what Republican governance looks like.
Right.
But
one part of the state does.
That also would be the end of Obamacare, and that would be devastating. So probably we're not rooting for that. But yeah, no, the problem is that people have been protected from the worst of Republicanism because Democrats temper it. They block, they water it down, they clean up the messes. They're always cleaning up messes. And so, voters don't have a real good idea. That's why they think that Republicans are better on the economy. They think they're better on national security. They're not, but that's what they think. And it would be great to start puncturing some of those beliefs and spend 4 years really just driving home. This is what you voted for. Do you still like this? Not judging, not calling them stupid, not saying they're idiots, not saying they're racist and sexist, even though some of them are, but not all of them, Mark. And you know what? The ones who are racist, sexist, we're never going to get them anyway. Screw them. Like, the other 30%. We just claw back 5 to 10% of those Republicans because they realize, yeah, maybe this is not what I wanted. This is not what I expected. Like, as a learning experience. And then we open up the tent to those people.
But Marcos, if you're not racist and sexist, but you vote for the racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobe, what are you?
Oh, no, I agree. But I don't, that was, they are ethically compromised in the best situation, but they're not lost. There are some who are lost. They're gone. They're off the deep end. Like, they're over there. But there are people who they voted for the racist, sexist, dictator wannabe, fascist. But next time they're like, okay, yeah, that's not what I expected. I thought he was going to lower my prices. Remember the whole idea that people vote, they'll support the fascist if they feel safe. Okay, maybe the transgender stuff wasn't that important now that prices are up 30% because of Trump's tariffs. And God knows what other disasters he's going to walk us into and just the chaos of the White House every single day. I don't even know why people want to vote for, like, I thought they'd be like, I want to be done with politics. Now we're going to have to deal with freaking every single day. Like, what crazy ass thing did Trump do today? We're back to that. We're back to that stupid game.
And the media companies really don't mind that because, you know, that's the Bronco chase for 4 straight years.
Mark, my Daily Coast, our donations are up already.
Yeah.
Like,
Marcos.
Great, because we need to do the work we need to do, right? But I would rather Harris win and have less money to work with.
So have you turned off the TV for the past couple of days, too? Because I have. I just can't.
Oh, no, it's not on. Yeah, no.
Because, you know, it's just the over-analysis and
all of that. There's my TV right there, and the only thing that I've been watching is sports. And I'm a Chicago fan, so that's not much better.
Yeah.
It's been bleak.
Michael Politzis, folks, we appreciate him. We appreciate Daily Coast. And, folks, get ready, too. So I had... some of you know I was in Fahrenheit 9/11. I had a cameo. I've tried out for other roles since then. I competed with Idris Elba to be the first black James Bond. And they asked me what my experience was. So I was in Fahrenheit 9/11. They were like, okay. But I was one of the leaders and the organizers of the 2000 shadow inauguration. So when Bush stole that election, people have forgotten about that.
And he literally stole that election. That was the first one.
So while Trump may not have stolen this one, everything he stands for, we need to cry out in the wilderness. We will not allow him to not be held accountable. That's the point of that. So in as a sort of a precaution, I did file a permit application for a shadow inauguration in 2025 in January. What's interesting is that they rarely allow that because it's the inaugural and the Secret Service. But what's interesting, I didn't really get a lot of pushback when I filed that. And I suspect the reason is the very civil servants who make those things happen also read Project 2025.
Oh, yeah. They're all gone.
So I'm like, you know, I know y'all don't do this. They said, no, Reverend Thompson, submit the application. And I said, are you sure? submit the application several times. So I didn't ask any more questions. So anyway, we will see. You know, I want to remind people, in 1968, before he was assassinated, Dr. King was protesting LBJ because of the war in Vietnam. But then he also said, as the peace movement tried to draft him, Dr. King himself, to run for president, he said he was most likely going to support the Democratic ticket. So if Dr. King is the standard, which he ought to be, who else would be, in any peace and justice movement, you know, if we can protest the people, we can vote for the people that we protest. We can most certainly protest and hold accountable those or others as well that we don't. All presidents are meant to be held accountable. And so we are engaged in conversations for that Martin Luther King weekend. Mm-hmm. And I have also been given the honor of, on that weekend, January 19th, the day before the inauguration, to preach at the church where Dr. King gave his speech on the Vietnam War 1 year before his death, the Riverside Church in New York. So I will do that on January 19th. And we were not aware that we will be in this place. But we will still continue, all of us, Daily Coast, Marcos, myself, we're not going to stop. Some of y'all want us to be silent. We weren't going to be silent under the Harris administration. In fact, had our finger in the dam, because even if she had won, first of all, if she had won, people were planning to march on the White House over Gaza next week anyway. People were going to vote for her and then march on Biden, because that's what we're dealing with. And that's our right to do. That's what the First Amendment says. He has no regard for that. And the First Amendment says peaceable assembly. That's what we've always done. That's what we're going to continue to do. January 6th is something else. If he gets those people out, we know what they're going to do. But we're going to stand up for what's right in a peaceful and nonviolent way. And we will see. We must. The as some of you know, I'm back in seminary. We were just talking in my seminar tonight about Marcus. Have you ever heard of Hannah Arendt, the great Jewish philosopher? She often said, and she wrote a great deal about the Holocaust. Her most famous contribution to the lexicon is the banality of evil.
Mm-hmm.
How people in the Nazi Party and in the concentration camps, she interviewed them as they were on trial, and many of them said they were just doing what they were told to do during their jobs. And she came up with this concept that people do that. People participate, it might have happened Tuesday, in things because it's banal and it's routine without even thinking about the consequences. But another thing she said was, we must always continue to take public action, whether we win or lose. Sometimes we think winning the cause or resolving the issue is the end. She says the risk in that is sometimes when you're in a movement, justice doesn't come quickly. And if people expect that, they become disillusioned and apathetic. Mm-hmm. But if action itself, getting out there and being heard, is more of an end than a means, then you never lose, especially when it's a righteous cause. So that's what we're going to do. We lost Tuesday, but as Dr. King said, the arc of the moral universe is long and it bends toward justice. There's a history in this country of ebb and flow, reconstruction, reclamation.
We spent 4 years building and preparing, and good things will happen.
Yeah. So we spent time
showing people what republicanism is and reminding them time and time again, is this what you voted for? This would not have happened if Kamala Harris was president. Oh, you lost your Obamacare, your health care. Terrible. You know what? We can bring it back in 2028. It's got to vote for us. We contrast because it's going to be a shit show. There's no other way for him to operate. So this is an opportunity for us to really educate people on what Republicanism actually is, not the lies they tell, what it actually looks like. So I'm seeing this as an opportunity now. I don't like it, but now they have to govern, and Republicans do not govern. So
yeah, no, they really don't. So. That's the other thing that's amazing. Even if they have a trifecta, if anybody can muck that up, they can.
Oh, they will.
Because they have no ideas. They don't know how to push buttons. They don't know anything about, like literally, let's do something. Let's take this from A and move it to B. Utter dysfunction. Because they're not intelligent people. And talking about non-college educated. That's an insult to talk about non-college educated people. They are worse. Some of them folk are college educated and dumb as bricks. Mm-hmm. All right. Everybody who's got a degree ain't smart. Mm-mm. Hello. Mm-mm. Some folks just did the work and showed up to class on time and met the deadlines. We all knew people like that we went to school with. So, yeah. No, you're right about that. Y'all ain't going to do nothing. They're not going to do anything. They're going to get in their own way. They're going to mess themselves up. They don't know how to count votes. Even when they go to the floor for a vote, they don't know how to whip.
So
it's going to be hilarious.
Everybody, instead of yelling at your, you know, people you know who voted for Trump, and just point out, is this what you voted for? Are you happy with this? And they may be happy about the deportations, but that doesn't affect them. There's going to be stuff that affects them. Prices are going to go up. That's going to affect them.
How are you going to deport all these people? What are you going to do? We're going to get a bunch of planes? What are we doing? How you going to rob them? Y'all need enough ICE people to go snatch up all those people.
Who the hell? I mean, who the hell knows? But that's not the stuff that's going to affect. I mean, it might affect them indirectly, right? Because they're not going to be able to go to a restaurant, because they're not going to be any cooks or people bussing tables. And so farmers are going to be freaking out in places like Nebraska. And it's okay, nobody's going to slaughter your cows anymore. Good luck finding Americans to do that nightmarish work.
No, those are black jobs. They can get us to go do those black jobs.
Yeah, okay. Good luck.
And he still sees us. You know, we've kind of, every culture in this, every group has come here, has done that. And then you move, you go up the economic, but we still can't be doing that.
But everything he's talking about, all of it is designed to raise prices. And so, it's like, okay. Yeah, inflation's back. Is that what you voted for? And just remind people. Don't attack him. Don't yell at this point. It's too late. Whatever. Just say, is this really what you voted for? And some people will be like, yeah. Okay, then you're lost. Okay. But I bet you there's going to be a lot of people who are like, yeah, no, I thought it was going to be different.
Yeah.
Because, and you know how I know this? Because this is what happened in the UK with Brexit. And now the Labour Party's in charge because people realized what the Tories were selling and how screwed they ended up after Brexit. And then they voted for Labour in a landslide election. So our job is just to say, is this what you voted for? Congratulations. If it is, great. Higher groceries, great. Fantastic.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big money at
Menards. Have you or someone you know left the behavioral health field? Coming back has its benefits for you and Ohioans in need. We would love to have you back working at a community behavioral health center, and you could earn up to a $3,000 bonus. That's right, a $3,000 bonus. Visit mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback and restart your journey today. That's mha.ohio.gov/welcomeback.
Mike's asking us, why aren't we talking about the debt? It went up under him, it'll go up some more.
I mean, the debt grew more. Nobody cares about the debt. Nobody cares.
Yeah, not anymore. I mean, if a Democrat causes debt, then they care about it.
But even Trump didn't talk about the debt. I mean, Trump is actually a pretty darn good politician. He knew nobody gave a damn about that. He didn't go through the motions of pretending.
Andrew Sadler says, I personally can't wait. I'm going to laugh when they figure out every tariff actually does.
Yeah. And you know what? The irony is that the Democratic base now is people with means, and they can actually afford it more than the rural, poorer white rural people who voted this in. And just a lot of good people are going to be hurt. That's the problem that's what sucks about this. I'm not too worried about Wyoming rural farmer types who voted for this. I don't care if their prices go up and they cry about it. Like, congratulations. I care about, you know, Black and Latino Democrats who don't have the financial means.
Right.
That's what I worry about. But those Trump voters, I'm not gonna shed a tear. I'm gonna enjoy every single one of their tears over the next 4 years, and they're coming. Like, we know they're gonna be there. Because it happened. Caleb. Yeah.
You see Caleb's comment from Tap.
Eventually, yes. That is one prophecy that will come true.
Thanks, Caleb, for cheering us up, buddy. It's just what we need. Let's spread the word.
Not for a while, I hope. All right, Mark, it was lovely visiting with you. This felt more like hanging out.
Yeah, it's cool. Like late night calls. We got to do this again. Late night calls.
Yeah.
Next time we'll do a midnight show or something. 3 o'clock in the morning. Because when it's late at night, you're starting to wind down. You're a little more looser. You're real. You're just drinking all down. There.
The lighting is better. Like, everything is just.
All right. We'll take a week off next week. Marcos is going to do some things. I need to figure out my life. And then, which is hectic. For you, man. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.